Give us courage, Lord, in the Holy Spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen. It's Joshua chapter 1 and verses 7 to 9. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Of all the parts of the Bible that are precious to me, God speaking directly is the most precious. In the mouth of the Lord Jesus, or the over 300 times when it says, "Thus saith the Lord." But God is speaking these words. It's not man, and we'd be wise to listen to them. God kept his covenant. He dawdled now 440 years, but he brought Israel home, and he reckoned with them. He didn't leave them alone. Now that is a great encouragement to modern Jews, and the reason they're building on the West Bank, as it's called, in other words, in Israel. Because they say God gave the land to us and his promises haven't changed. Therefore, I take this as a great encouragement to Israel. But is something more to this passage than that. We have a greater than Joshua. We have the Lord Jesus. Both words mean Saviour. So Jesus and Joshua are in Hebrew one word. And we need to remember that there is not in Joshua the power of an endless life, but there is in Jesus. After Joshua come Judges, when the people departed from the Lord and got into all sorts of trouble. And it went on till they were sent away to Babylon, and it's gone on to this day. So then, Joshua is partial victory, but we have an absolute victor. And I don't doubt that there is complete victory, so that all we regard as failure and loss, God regards as victory. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there we have personal victory and in every other way. Now, if you take Joshua, he is like the Apostle Paul. And the book of Joshua, it's often been noted, is very like Ephesians. Remember, Ephesians ends with the spiritual armour. We're taken out of darkness into light, out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God, out of the death of sin into the life of righteousness, and then sent to fight. And that is the same with these people, taken out of Egypt, through the desert, and then sent to fight. So God says to both Joshua's people then, and to us now, only be thou strong and very courageous. Now, what is this courage we're after? Well, first of all, it's a courage we've been promised. See, we've been singing, "I know whom I have believed." There's a courage in those words, a fierceness behind them, a refusal to be moved. Now, before Joshua came to this point, if you look back to chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, you'll find that Joshua was called aside by Moses, and it's there, I think, in the 31st verse. Certainly, it's very close to there. It says there that he has called Joshua, and he says in verse 14, "The Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy day is approached, that thou must die. Call Joshua, and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. So there, verse 7, again. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go in with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. So the words that we're reading are a repeat, in a sense, of a call God had already given. And I believe that God has called each person here to come and fight for him in his kingdom. Now, what is the strength that we have here? Well, for a start, we are none of us strong people. We're not strong intellectually, we're not strong physically, we're not strong in terms of wealth or of influence. We haven't those strengths. What is the strength that we have? Well, you look at it again and you'll see. Only be thou strong, in verse 7, and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. So our strength then lies in the word of God. And that word is personal to us. We have each received it and are each to be strong in it. That's a very different strength to what the world sees. The world sees us as hopeless, but God sees us as strong through this word. And God told Joshua that the word was not to depart out of his mouth, but he was to meditate therein night and day. We want to think about the law. Now, there's a little more to Joshua's strength than that. You think about this. Moses was God's servant. Joshua was merely the one who waited on Moses. He never had Moses' position with God, but what he did have was this. I never knew a successful leader who was called straight into leadership, but was usually put under in a humbling position for years and years. I have often told people I served something like a 12-year curacy, and I never got charge of a church properly for that time. I had charge of churches, but never properly in charge until long after. God calls a man and then places him in a position of subservience. And the greatest examples are there to see. Hudson Taylor was right when he said that even if God had called him to China simply to sweep a room to God's glory, he would be delighted. He would be pleased with that. And he was pleased with all that happened to him. You see, we aren't called to glory. We're called to service of a humbling nature. If I, your Lord and Master, have so done, girded himself with a towel and poured water on the other's feet, so ye also are to wash one another's feet. And that is something that God gives to anybody he calls to be a leader. Now, I also think that Joshua was a very unlikely choice of leader. You see, when Joshua thought about it earlier, he must have thought, although I am waiting on Moses, the two people likely to get the leadership are either Phinehas, the high priest, he's the obvious candidate, or Caleb, who was the lion-hearted one. One or two of those are the likely. Caleb was Joshua's equal in every way. Now, that's what is needed. That feeling of I can't. I won't be, I'm not up to the job. That is what makes a Christian leader. And I believe many Christian leaders crash because they feel up to the job. I heard of a man who has great influence today and has used it rather poorly for the gospel. And two people who knew him when he was a London city missioner in charge of a tiny mission hall, these two godly people said of him that he lost it when he came into prominence, and that when everyone courted him, and today he said many things which don't fit the gospel. Now, those things happen unless we accept the lowly position. So that is what it was. Now, there's another thing that made Joshua a leader. God spoke direct to him. And God answered the fears of his heart. When it says, be strong, why did God say to Joshua, be strong? It was because Joshua felt his own weakness. Now, I know people who don't feel their own weakness at all, and a menace they are. And then God said, be of good courage. What does that mean? It means Joshua felt fearful. He was timid of it. He realized he wasn't a fool. Be of good courage, he needed. Be not thou dismayed. Must he mean this? That Joshua had seriously considered chucking the whole thing in. That Joshua had got to the state of realism when he realized that Joshua himself could do nothing against the nations in Israel. So he wouldn't. Now, what is the condition then when God calls a man and offers him responsibilities? Well, if his will is strong and he's taken up with himself, he'll get nowhere. God has to start by emptying any man. That is how he begins his work, humbling us and bringing us down till we see ourselves as we actually are. So when God wants a man to speak, he chooses a Moses who at the burning bush said, O my Lord, heretofore I am neither eloquent. Choose my brother Aaron. He's eloquent and can do this. And God said to him, Aaron shall speak for you, but you will be as God to Aaron, and Aaron will be as your mouth. And later on you'll find Moses spoke direct. God took a man who couldn't speak. When Jeremiah was taken, he said, Oh my Lord, I am but a child, meaning a youth, a stripling, and I can't stand up. And God said, I'll make your forehead as brass, and I'll make you so you can stand against this people. Only don't give way and fear them, then you will fall. It's like Peter walking on the sea. And then again, if you take Paul said he was contemptible and his speech was nothing. Paul had no idea of his own ability at speaking, but God chose him above all the people who felt they could speak. And God made him the one who was able to speak to thousands and thousands. Now, what did God do then with Joshua to make him strong? That is very important. First of all, God enabled him to be faithful in the past. You see, he was faithful to Moses, who was faithful to God in all his house. So there was faithfulness. Jesus said in the parable, because thou hast been faithful in a few things, I will make thee ruler over many. And I believe many a person never achieves leadership in the church of God simply because they aren't faithful in the little things. And if we are faithful in the little things, in the two talents, God will make us ruler over two cities. And the 5 talents, God will make us ruler over 10 cities. God is able if we're faithful in what he's given us. It is not required of a man what he hath not, but what he hath. And there is where God intends us to be faithful, not in our imaginations, nor in some big scene, but in the very small things of life. That is where God is watching and choosing leaders, in those tiny little things that other people think are very unimportant. So then, this young man became obedient, just as the Lord Jesus, who became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. So Joshua needed first of all faithfulness and then obedience, but then he needed reliability. Now, that comes out of experience. Joshua had experienced the taskmasters of Egypt. He must have been one of the leaders. And as a leader, he must have felt the lash of Pharaoh's taskmasters personally. He knew what bitter hard bondage was, and making bricks without straw, and he knew from what they had been delivered. I don't believe any man is ever called to the leadership of God's church, and God's church is full of people who are never called to the leadership, who've seized the leadership. And that is where it's gone wrong. Now, God called him because he had been faithful in those days of utter degradation of Israel, and when nothing was right. And I believe he was one of those Moses relied on to marshal Israel in the night when Israel departed from Egypt. This is a night to be much remembered, said the Lord. And it was remembered in Joshua's life. And then again, this young man bowed his shoulder to bear. He didn't just give up, but he was probably 40 when they left Egypt. And he had bowed his shoulder to bear. He'd stood what God laid on him. And God is laying on each one of us burdens. Those burdens are very heavy. But you see, one of the things that I see going wrong in the church of God is God has laid on us the burden of one another, the burden of husbands, the burden of wives. And as we're faithful in these things, which aren't easy, God makes us so that we're able to bear greater burdens. This man put his shoulder to bear, and he stood the burden, the heat of the day. And not only did he do that, he stood it in such a way as to be victorious, not just a grumbler or one who kept his mouth tight shut and somehow got through. And then again, he never departed from the tent, the tabernacle, while Moses was in it, so that he kept as close as possible to Moses throughout this time. And then again, when Moses went up Mount Sinai, who went with him? And who said, "My Lord Moses, there's a shout of war in the camp"? And Moses said, "It isn't the shout of battle, but it's the shout of those who are singing, dancing, rejoicing." And it was Joshua who was close to Moses. And again, who could be trusted? Well, the man who had beaten Amalek in war could be trusted to take on Palestine. And one who had a good report as a spy on the land of promise, were in the face of the other spies, the majority, who said it's impossible, the walls reach up to heaven and the people are tall as trees, we can't do anything about it. Now, again, he had refused to join in their rebellious behavior when they tried to enter the land under their own steam and fight a battle when Moses told them not to next day. So, the upshot is this. This young man did 80 years of faithful service. And God gave him, because 80 wasn't that old in those days, God gave him power and strength and might to go in and possess the land, aged 80. He did the same as Moses. And Moses died 120, but Moses was called at the bush at 80 years old, and Joshua was the same. So you and I have no idea for what God is educating us. I know this, that in my life I have had many things happen which I reckoned in my mind were wasted, and I've never ever yet found one thing in my life that didn't come out useful later. All my life I've had these things like wasted years and wasted times and times when it didn't seem anything was happening at all. And yet later on they've been most valuable lessons to me. Now again, God did something else with Joshua's call. He gave him one day a distinct personal call. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto a land which I do give them. Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt cause this people to inherit the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Now, once a man is called by God to a work, he's invincible. I don't care how weak he is and how poor, he's invincible. He cannot do it without that. I remember that trip I did to India 3 years ago, walking through all these idol-infested streets in the middle of this huge concourse of people, all worshipping their idols, and I felt so helpless, and I felt as if I was saying to the Lord, Lord, call me to this. Call me to just be able to resist it. I couldn't do it on my own. I'm utterly powerless in the midst of this huge display of heathendom. But God can call a man, and until that call comes, we are powerless and can do nothing. Now, you look at this man. He wasn't unconscious of his own weakness. He didn't ignore the difficulties. He knew that the cities were walled up to heaven. He knew that the Amorite was there and that they were powerful and strong people. He knew all about the size of the land and their iron chariots and all the rest about them. But he didn't rebel. He kept on in the way God had told him. And then again, he looked to the law of God for his strength, and God honored him in it. So God's actual voice spoke to him. Here is my revealed purpose for your life. And so he replies, I yield myself to do whatever you will. Now, Joshua's job was almost impossible, and I want to explain to you why. We believe that the Israelites left Egypt in the year 1445 BC, or very close to that year, and that was the reign of Amenhotep II, and it was the height of Egyptian power, prosperity, and prestige, and that meant that they had enormous power over the princes and petty kings in what was Palestine. They actually ruled it, so that Pharaoh's writ ran there, and those petty kings all looked to Pharaoh for guidance and for everything else, and he had military interference in the land. Now, if you read the book of Joshua, never once in the seven nations that he fought does it mention Egypt. What happened? Well, in that 40 years, Amenhotep II died. Amenhotep III, his son, took over and totally ignored the people of Palestine. We know this from the Tell el-Amarna heap, which is a hill in Egypt. And there we have found thousands and thousands of documents in clay. And many of them are from petty princes in that land and rulers of towns pleading with the Egyptians to send help, saying we are being overcome by peoples from the desert. Now, I'm not saying the Habiru were the Israelites. That I don't believe. But what I do believe is many attacks were occurring upon the towns, and that the people couldn't resist them properly, and they were looking to Egypt for military help, and Amenhotep didn't send it. Neither do we find his son, Akhenaten, took any interest in that. So then, God timed it. God brought you to the kingdom for a special time and a special purpose. And the special time with Joshua was when Egypt was at its maximum weakness in the north in Palestine. Egypt was a nuisance to Palestine all the way through, right up to Solomon's time and later. But at that time it withdrew its power and the way was opened for the conquest. Now, when Joshua looked at the land, it was walled cities. Have you ever thought what a walled city looked like to foot soldiers who had no means of shinning over the walls, no means of knocking them down, couldn't get near, the others were above them and in a safe position and able to rain anything they liked down upon them? It was a very difficult position. Furthermore, the Israelites, we know from digging in the area, built buildings on the places where the Canaanites had been, which were very backward. They lacked drainage, whereas the Canaanite buildings had drainage. They lacked central government, whereas the Canaanites had central government. They lacked all the skills and wisdom of the people they were attacking. So Joshua was taking a horde of untrained people to attack people who were powerful, rich, and thoughtful, and could fight. So never say, God has not given me enough qualifications for the task. God never varnishes the spade he digs with. God never adds that glow of other people, but he does do it. He gives you sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that we know to be a fact. So who will lead us into Edom? It is God. Now, there is another thing here. God made him a leader by the sense of the presence of God. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. That needs thought. Why does it need thought? Well, you think for a moment. Who knew God face to face as a man speaketh with his friend? Moses. And how did Joshua have to approach God? They got the Urim and the Thummim, and they had to consult Phinehas. And they had to consult God far from face to face. Now look, God put us in a church here in this century, not knowing God face to face as our ancestors knew him. We are neither Wesley nor Whitfield. We are neither any of the great preachers of the Victorian era. We are not Spurgeons or any of the others. God has called us, having to approach him from much farther off than they did. God spoke and sent massive revivals, so that when men spoke, their word was heeded, their churches were full, their voice went powerfully through the nation. Ours does not. Joshua never had the power over the people that Moses had. And remember, the people had Remphan their god and Molech their star, who they lugged round the desert and worshipped secretly behind Moses' back, and they were taking them with them into a land full of it. He didn't have perfect people under him, and remember that they broke off the engagements long before they had conquered the land, and Joshua said, "Why do you stop?" And remember, Joshua had to deal with the tribes which wanted to stay in their inheritance because they conquered on that side of Jordan and had room for their cattle, and he had to say to them, God's curse would be on them if they didn't come into the battle. Joshua had his problems, and they were much greater in a way than Moses' problems. But when we go ahead, we need to be strong and courageous. You remember in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Greatheart, who never turned his back on the enemy. Well, that is what we've got to be, strong and courageous, and stand our ground and fight so that God will use us. Now, that is done by God's word. There's the only way to do it is by this book. It energizes speech, it energizes conduct, it gives us a mighty power which all our enemies can neither gainsay nor resist. It opens our mind. You and I have tiny minds which see a little bit of this huge circumference in front of us. But when we get God's word and dwell in it, it opens a vast range to our minds, and we speak far wider than we ever could. There are a few men who have a mind like the Encyclopedia Britannica and could speak on any subject. You'll hear them on the television, and dreadful nuisances they are. But with God's word, you can speak to any situation, anywhere, and God will take you forward. So you can have courage. That's where our courage comes from, the word of God. And then we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have a greater than Joshua. Amen.